Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Romans chapter 11, you hear me refer to Romans 11. I love the book of Romans. I love Romans, the whole entire chapter by chapter. I preached to it a number of years ago. Sadly, I had all of Genesis, preached all of Exodus, all of Acts, all of Romans, all of Hebrews, and a number of other books, and they somehow got lost. The computer crashed, evidently, that they were on, and I really wish we still had those, so maybe I'll have to preach to them again. We're going to look tonight at, again, verses 33 through 36. Of a message titled, How Blessed We Are. And what tonight is going to kind of be a continuation of, you've heard me talk a lot lately about, you know, the blessing, the incomprehensible nature of God, how God is so much more than we can imagine. And there's even a whole lot of things that as we walk and we breathe, we forget about the incomprehensible creative genius of God, even in the very person that we are. And I'm not even talking about personality. I'm talking about in the very creation itself of us and the complexity of even the human body. Tonight, what this will basically do is help again open another window into the creative genius of God, but also the knowledge, the wisdom, and the beauty of His creation in the handiwork, us. So I hope you found Romans 11. Again, we're going to look at verses 33 through 36. And if you are able tonight physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and untraceable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has ever first given to Him and has to be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Father God, thank You tonight again, Lord, for this ability we have to read Your Word, to study, to get a glimpse, Father, into the incredible life that we live that is a gift from You, but also the unbounded love, Your mercy, Your grace through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray tonight we will get a greater understanding of You, that will give birth tonight to a greater commitment and a desire to glorify, honor, and to serve You. And we ask this in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's kind of a doxology, I guess you could say, or a hymn of praise, the number of things people will say about this verse. It's wrapping up a really awesome chapter. But verse 33 again, oh, the depth of the riches. Both, okay, so you see the depth of the riches, meaning the depth of this thing that is very valuable. And then what? Both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and untraceable His ways. Leads to the first thing that I want to share with you tonight, and it's this. Most Christians never meditate on the incredible level of wisdom and knowledge that God has. Now I want to share something with you. I'm rather fascinated by the human body, by the intricacy of it, by the laminin that holds us together, by the flagellum, which are the little trucks inside of our bodies that have a little universal joint. They go about 20 or 30,000 RPMs. They can stop instantaneously, turn. They deliver nutrients and everything else in our body. Go home and research this. Really cool. It's called the flagellum. By the way, apart from laminin, we fall apart. Laminin is actually in the form of a cross. It's really cool. We don't have time to get into all that tonight. We will over time. But I want to look at another part of our body tonight that you and I most likely will never see. And if we do, it'll only be for a split second after we get hit by something or we whack our heads and our brains come out. Brains. Anybody know what the consistency of a brain is? I don't want to take too much time. It's like tofu. They call it gray matter. I know that because I've had to sadly clean some up before when I was policing and when I was a young man. You don't think a lot about the brain because it is in the middle of cerebral spinal fluid, and cerebral spinal fluid is under pressure, and what it does, it cushions the brain, because the brain, if it hits your skull, is not a good feeling. I know that from when I had meningitis. It is not a nice feeling, ladies, when you've had a spinal tap and get a spinal headache. If you've had one, you will say, oh, amen. It doesn't feel good. Scientists estimate that the brain has 86 billion cells. Now, does anybody in here know, kind of help understand, does anybody know what a billion is? Does anybody know how you can kind of get a little bit of an estimation of how much a billion is? Does anybody in here off the top of your head know how long you live when you have been alive for 1 billion seconds? 31.7 years. Then you've been alive 1 billion seconds. 86 billion. Do you know how long it would take you if the moment you were born, you were able to count, and you started going 1, 2, 3, and you began to count in one human brain, 86 billion cells, how long it would take you to count them? 2,726.2. By the way, I didn't find that. I calculated it myself. I like this number stuff. It's fun. 2,000, guess what? Jesus, you were there when guess what? You got a whole lot more time. If you were alive and started living about the time Jesus was born, you're still counting, friends. You've got another few hundred years, by the way, about 600, almost 7. You've only counted one brain. Now, you go, well, what are you saying that for? God created it. Not only did he create it, he spoke it into existence, and it was finished. Now, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Do you understand now where I'm going? Whew. We're just talking about a part of his creation. We're not talking about Antares like I talked about on Sunday night, Nocturus, and no, we're just talking about one simple brain out of the how many? He knits them together in their mother's womb. Does not the word say? I trust God's word, so I know that God is over it. I know that he's over the 86 billion brain cells in every single knit together being. And God's over the laminin, and he's over the flagellum, and that's not including the heavens that declare the glory and the earth, the work of his hands. Now do you understand why it's important to meditate on the incredible level of wisdom and the knowledge of God? Because it's incredible. It speaks to the power of God. God is awesome. Can you imagine the human brain before the fall? Can you imagine what the human brain is capable of without a sin nature? Can you imagine tonight the untainted beauty of God's creation minus sin? Yeah, we know it, plus sin. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it great to get cancer diagnosis and heart attacks and strokes? Isn't this fun? Isn't COVID great? Isn't a nice case of stomach flu? Doesn't that give you the warm and fuzzy feelings? What about the cursing of God and the man shaking his fist in God's face? Isn't it great? Well, I want to stay here as long as I can, don't you? Aren't you glad Adam and Eve didn't eat from the tree of life? Can you imagine living in this forever? Thank you, Lord. Now I understand why you put the cherubs, flaming swords going around. Amen? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. It's bad enough having to deal with the sin nature part of it. I cannot imagine in this brokenness for an eternity. See, the depth of the riches. You think of the depth of the riches. Who's the riches? Who? Oh, the depth of the riches. I wonder who is enriched by this. Us. See, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are part of His kingdom, His plan, His purpose. And the depth of the riches are the riches that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are co-heirs. You know what a co-heir is? We've got to wake you guys up tonight. We are adopted. We are grafted in. We are like the prodigal son after restoration. Amen? We are one of His children, fully vested in the riches both of His wisdom and the knowledge of God. Listen to verse 34 and 5. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has ever first given to Him and then He has had to be repaid? Second thing that I want to share comes out of those two verses tonight. It's this. God owes mankind nothing good. The gift of salvation shows how much God loves us. Hence my desire to share a verse you all know with you again tonight. And I could assume that all of you would be able to say this from memory, John 3:16. For God so loved, put your name in there. For God so loved Trevor. For God so loved Daniel. For God so loved Kesk. We go through every person in here that what? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See, God owes us nothing good. He owes us hell and death, but yet through Jesus Christ, He became the atonement, the propitiation, the payment for our sin, giving us the co-heirs, co-heirship. We are adopted. We are bought and paid for. We could go on and on and on. That is the demonstration, the expression of His love for us. And it's big. When we recognize we deserve hell and death, but yet the extension of God is grace and mercy, forgiveness. That's what we get for killing His Son. Wow, isn't that awesome? Now you start to understand what I'm talking about when you see the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God. God knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that we deserve none of it. If anybody is ever aware of that, it's God. But I thank God that even though we deserve hell and death, all of us, you know, right now, even still we deserve it. If it was not for Christ, Lauren O'Harris sings a song, I love it. I was listening to it this morning about 2 o'clock. Were it not for grace, if you ever get a chance, go on YouTube. Lauren O'Harris is incredible. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down a pointless road to nowhere with my salvation up to me. It's powerful, man. The battles I would face, forever running, but losing the race. were it not for grace. Isn't that awesome? There's so much, man, there's some rich theology in some songs. I was talking with a sister in Christ about earlier who, at her age, I said, ma'am, I said, you and I are about the same age, and when it comes to music theology, we were talking about those old hymns and how much rich theology is in so many of them. But even in the ones like Steve Green, if you ever listen to him, Michael Card, I'd probably say names you guys never heard, please write them down. Get on YouTube and listen, man. It will bless your soul. Amen? Amen? If not, I'll call you at 1:30 and we can listen together. Amen. Then verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So who's known the mind of the Lord? We see in 34. Or who has been his counselor? Anybody? No one. Who in the world's going to be the counselor of God? I know a few people right now in politics that would offer themselves for it. That wouldn't work out too well, would it? You do not tell God the way things are. Ask the enemy. He tried it once. Didn't go over too good, did it? You don't, and I don't tell God how it's going to be. We are subservient to him. How in the world are us, as what is it? Romans 9 says it. Who are you, O man, to say the Creator? Why'd you make me this way? We don't tell God the way things are going to be. Though sometimes mankind believes that they can get away with it, it's not advisable. He owes us nothing. And then, or who has ever first given to him and has had to repay? Hey, God, I'm giving you. Lord, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you my life. Excuse me? How do you give the one that created you and owns you your life? Amen? We come to him humbly, confess our sin, receive salvation. By the way, the gift of salvation that he gives us. You ever thought of that? Yeah. Lord, you're going to be so thankful to have me on your team. Don't let me burst your bubble too hard. God doesn't need you or I. If every one of us walked out and renounced our faith tonight, you don't think God could raise the pews up to start sharing the gospel in here? Amen? That is an important thing, I think, to understand, though, because we can't overvalue ourselves, because what happens is we get prideful. We start thinking that we are the captain of the ship. And God, you just better be so, man, I'll tell you, without me, you don't know what you'd do you? Yeah, right. He'd have the rocks cry out. He'd get somebody to actually do what he wanted to, amen? It's important for us to recognize that we were dead in our trespasses and sins and have been made alive in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 2, you read it, the birth, spiritual. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the what works he prepared for us in advance. We are whose workmanship? God's. Don't be scared to say it. People online want to hear you talk. They won't know your name. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And those works, as I said Sunday, hey there, that's why we're not supposed to take credit for them. Because all we are is doing the Spirit of God, the will of God, the outflow of our love for the Lord is obedience, should be obedience. This is the third and final thing I want to share with you tonight from that verse 36. Every single blessing is from God, and therefore he deserves all thanksgiving and praise. Because what? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. For from him, through him, and to him are all things. What does that say? It's like Neil Diamond's song, "The Story of My Life Begins and Ends with You." Meaning, God would say, the story of your life begins and ends with me. Whether it is to come to faith in Jesus Christ, stand before him as an object at the bema seat of his mercy, or it still begins with him, and in rejecting him, you still stand before him, but you stand before the great white throne of judgment to hear the words, "Depart from me, you cursed one, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." There's only two outcomes. There's no eternal purgatory. You and I can't get prayer beads, light enough candles, or pay enough money to get anybody on one side or the other. The weight of that rests in one place: you. Accept the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, by grace and through faith, or by some semblance of insanity in your mind, believe that you or I can satisfy the wrath of God by our works, our good works outweighing our bad, and somehow God gives us the wink and lets us in. Or, case, I guess you get the others who overtly reject the very notion of a God, the very notion of subservient to any creative being, and in doing so, shake their fist and say, "Take me." See, if you recognize there's nothing good that you and I experience that's not from God. You know that? Nothing. Oh, come on, man, I went out there. No. You're still standing up on your two feet with your nappy head, making that money right now because God was gracious to you or me, and he enabled us, even the wicked, he is enabled to continue to live and move and breathe. Amen? He holds our very breath in the palm of his hand. So when it says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, from the Lord of love, that does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift. My, let's sit back and let's reflect on what good and perfect gifts are today. Take a big breath. Thank you, there's one. Light, rain. We could go on and on and on. You weren't crushed by the trial or tribulation that you were under. I'm so glad I've gotten so strong now. You better be careful in saying that. You better give all, for from him and through him and to him are all things. God, thank you for not allowing the weight of my selfish pride and sin to hinder the work you're doing. God, thank you that my pride and my own self didn't crush me in your vigor to have, should have been glorified the way that you deserve to be because of my pride, my rebellion, Lord. I prevented you from getting the glory that you should have gotten. That's why it says that in there, to him be the glory forever. It's a good thing to train yourself to do. Whenever someone says, "Hey, I love you, thanks for doing that. You know what? Hey, to God be the glory. I appreciate you encouraging me. God is just so good, and I'm so glad to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus." You see what you did, right? You acknowledged the thanksgiving, but you directed it to where it needed to go. Think about it. You know what you did? You opened up a deposit envelope in the spiritual realm. You inserted the check that someone wrote, and then you deposited it in the bank that one day in heaven is going to be opened up, and the blessings that the Bible talks about are going to be able to be rightfully distributed because you deposited them where they belonged. Did y'all get that? Are you not tracking? Thank you. That's deep, amen? But it's true. It is true. And we've got to recognize this, because what happens is, even though we may not do it with malice aforethought, meaning we were thought about it and we did it as a result, even when we do that unknowingly, we still lose a blessing. Don't let the enemy steal blessings by us taking credit for the work of God that we're doing on his behalf. You want to be blessed by God, because if someone comes up and says thank you for that, and you and I revel in that and go, well, I just can't help it, that's all we're ever going to get for that. Along with, I think, a stiff rebuking, and however that spiritually pans out one day. Or, ready for a bigger one? Imagine if you and I stand before the Lord having gotten all the attaboys, having done the, you know, I wanted my name on the church, so I gave the money and said, you just got to put my name on there. Y'all know what I talked about. I saw that in a town here recently, about maybe want to throw up right there on their city square. And you stand before the Lord one day, and when you stand there, you're able to see the blessing you could have gotten, but you stole from God. Imagine. I don't think I'm reading into that too much either. I really don't. Learn to deflect in a godly way. It's not wrong, because you're allowing them to see the blessing of receiving their thanksgiving, but then redirecting it like it should be. Because this flat out, beyond a shadow of a doubt, shows that everything, for from him and through him and to him are all things. It doesn't say, for from him and through him and to him are most things or his things. No, it is all things. So tonight, as I stand here, I am a trophy of God's grace. I'm not here because I'm a good person. I'm not here because I'm special. I'm here because Jesus Christ has saved me, and I yielded my plans and my purposes to his glory, for his work, for his kingdom, and Longview's buildings, not because Brother Jonathan's a good preacher. It's because the hands and the feet of Jesus, I allowed myself to be a part of his purpose, his plan, and his work. And I fully believe, had I come here and made this the temple or the kingdom of me, it'd be the biggest disaster that Unionville had ever dreamed of seeing. And it would be a complete and utter disgrace, not on the part of the Lord, but on the part of me. So what tonight are you allowing the kingdom of you to be? Is yours the one that is an automatic? Remember, you know, you go online, you go somewhere and it says an automatic redirection? Is everything that comes in coming to you an automatic redirection to Christ? What does Paul say? Look to me as I look to Christ. Is that what your life is? Or is your life one compromise after another, after another, after another, one excuse after another, after another, after another? Because you know what happens? Out of the mouth and the life is the manifestation of the heart. We talked about Sunday night, the things of the heart. Most important things we ever deal with are the things of the heart. Why? Because head knowledge is hell. Heart knowledge is life. Out of the heart springs the soul. It is a carbon copy of the soul. What is the mirror image of your soul tonight? What is the wellspring of your heart? Is your life before him and through him and to him life? All things. Somebody asked me this week, you know, I'm in a difficult situation and I don't know what to do. They rightfully owned their choices and actions, and I just said, you know, You've got to make a choice. I said, you can feel obligated to do what you're supposed to be doing. I said this is the issue. I said, at this age, you have this much dash, and you're at the end of this dash. And I said, you have a choice. And the choice is, you do something that you know you should do because you feel obligated to it, or you do it because you love the Lord, and greater love hath no man than this, than one that lays down their life for their friend. In a, for him and through him and to him are all things mine. And then in that, to him be the glory forever by the mere life that you're living, or I'm living, or the life that we are not living and refuse to, we reflect. Not his glory, we deflect it. How many times you hear me talk about reflector? We are to be spiritually what the moon is to the sun. We are merely to reflect, not do anything. The moon never changes the reflection of the sun. Do you know this? It never changes it. It is merely there to reflect. It has no light of its own. When the sun doesn't hit it, it's dark, it's black. Even though when there's light on it, what is it? It's reflective, it's beautiful, it's pretty. I got a question tonight. You don't see the reflection of the sun unless the moon is in view of it, isn't it? You can even look, in a sense, at the earth being the enemy for us, and we've got the light of Christ, and the enemy that ends up getting, and how much tonight of the enemy's influence and effect in our life is dimming our reflective ability. No, we shouldn't be going around with waxing and waning moons. No, we should be a full moon spiritually. Yeah, we're going to have tough times, but guess what, man? You keep in mind that for, from him, and through him, and to him are all things. And you live with overt act of your will to do everything to him be the glory forever. And when you fall, you 1 John 1:9, confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and get back to the from him, and through him, and to him are all things. You know why I keep saying this? I want you to hear this tonight in your bed. I don't want you to hear my voice. I want you to hear the voice of the Lord. I want you to hear his word resonate through your body, through your mind, and through your soul. Because what does the Bible talk about with our kids? What should we do? Impress. You know what I'm doing tonight? I'm like one of those stamping parts at GM with God's words tonight. I keep hitting it. And I'm hitting it loud and I'm hitting it hard, because I want, when you lay there tonight, to remember that the reason that you live, you move, and you have your being is to glorify the Lord in everything that you say and do. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory. You ever think about what your dying breath will be one day? I've seen too many people die, I'm going to be honest with you, in it. So I deal with that a lot. I deal with it when I'm riding down. I'm going to be honest, I hate that road we drive down the way here. It's called Highway 130. I call it Death Valley. It's bad. That place will kill you faster than anything else. I can still see that man. I can still see his clothes, and I can still see what he looks like. The morning we were driving to church a year ago, less than a year ago right now, and found him deader than four ways from Sunday, and then had to come in here and preach. I can still see the man that flipped over. Thank the Lord Jesus he's alive tonight. But I'll tell you one thing, if God had not led me to go down there, that man would be dead. But this is person after person after person on Highway 130 West. It is a killer. So my statement in that is saying this. There's a lot of times when somebody almost hit me, good gracious, it happens almost all the time. People are always I've gotten hit on that road almost head on so many times, it's not even funny. And I sit there and think about that. And I think about, okay, they just almost hit me, and I can already feel what it would have felt like to get trapped in that thing. And I got blood thinner, remember, so I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to, it's going to be bad. It's going to be fast, thankfully. Amen? Amen? Thanks to blood thinners, it'll be fast. Or what is it, brother? Amen, you too, right? But I don't, it's just a weird feeling. Because remember, when I had meningitis, I was dying. And you know when you're dying. Let me tell you, friends, let me promise you one thing. When you're dying, you will know it. I promise you. Even after your body stops functioning, you will know it. So I say this to you to help you think now. I have the ability right now to partake in the unsearchable, vast riches of God's wisdom, His grace, His mercy. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. And I am going to make the very essence of my being one that glorifies Him. And I don't care what happens and when it happens, I'm going to embrace it. I don't want to be one of those people that back when I used to have anxiety years ago, my heart go out, brother, hey, listen, you talking about a panic? Hey, friends, y'all ain't seen nothing. I used to be scared to death to die. It actually makes me a little nervous now because I'm so unscared of it. These things have happened in the last couple of years, and it's like, all right, let's roll. But, you know, anybody going to fight it? What are you going to do, right? There's nothing you can do. But when you're ready, there is this really awesome thing. And I believe it's when that scripture verse says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. And I think it's also the same as the part of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the promise, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Now, I don't know if that doesn't comfort you. We need to talk. Because Romans 8, 38 and 39, pigtail right off of it. Height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing in all of creation. Not just talking about this. Brothers and sisters, just talking about the vast expanse of sin. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when you woke up this morning, I know I'm going to have my hips replaced in the next 10 years. I know that. I can tell you, my hips are hurting bad, church, bad. I'm waking up at night having to take Tylenol and ibuprofen. They pop. It's hurting. But you know what's so cool? When I woke up this morning, I didn't know it was going to rain. My phone told me first. It said 10 minutes ago start raining. I was like, wow. Something hit out the window. I heard some dripping. I was like, well, I guess it's been raining. And I didn't see the sun today. But as I shared with you guys on Sunday night, guess what? It was there. It was there. Did I see it? No. Did I go, you know what? I bet it's not there like those dumb people that say, if a tree falls in the woods, you think it makes a noise. Oh, come on. Get out of here. I don't have time for that. I have time to tell you, though I did not see physically the sun there, today, I know it was there. What does that mean? That means when God says to me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because He is with me. Well, you haven't been there yet. I don't care. He hasn't lied to me yet. And He's not going to start now. Are you living that life? Or when something happens, you start freaking out. Oh, Lord, whoa, I don't want... Do you really want to stay here? If you say yes, we really need to talk because you have no idea where you're going. Because if you have a true faith and a true belief and knowledge, the Bible says that you might know that you have eternal life. I know one thing, friend. As you've heard me say, you almost tend to get a little fatalistic. What does that mean? That means you walk inside of a knife factory, no suits on, you ain't caring. Just cut me and let me go. Because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, right? Yeah, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. Wait, come here, angels, come on, get me. Your heaven's open door. Because I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Are you that? Or you're telling me you're shouting glory, but you're scared to death to go. What are you scared of? No, you don't want to go before God's ready for you. But that doesn't mean you're running from it. Because if you're running from it, we need to talk. Because from him and through him and to him are all things, including death. Because there can be no restoration of what was broken through sin until what? Salvation, sanctification gives way to the glorious phenomenon we know as glorification. And that is graduation day. How blessed we are. Amen. I want to challenge you this week to meditate on the incredible level of wisdom and knowledge that God has. And I don't even say has. You ready? The incredible level of wisdom and knowledge. You ready? That God is. Amen. God is all knowledge and all wisdom. God did not have to sit around one day and go, well, I'm God and I had this chance to do it and I'm going to say it's not good to steal from somebody, so now we're going to say that that's bad. You know that he didn't have to do that? Do you know why? His very character dictates that that is wrong. Amen? Because his very character is the essence of absolute moral truth. The things that you and I know and that differentiating line between us saying, well, no, that's not right, and yes, this is good or that's bad. It isn't because some lawyer or some judge or some politician says something's good or bad that that means it's good or bad. No, the inherent moral law that is based in the character of God demands justice for injustice, sin. Well, we know the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, my Lord. God owes us nothing good tonight, church. He owes us nothing. But he loves us. The gift of salvation itself shows how much he loves you and I. What about that old song? Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more can he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. You ever heard that song? Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for mankind to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. I want to challenge you to do something, church. I want to challenge you to grow. I want to challenge you to dig. I want to challenge you to get honest with God. You know why? The matters of the heart are the matters that are not conquered easily. Amen? They're tough. I'm not lying. The more you want to grow, the tougher the calling, the dross, as God burns it off. How does dross get pulled off? Through what? Heat. What is heat? It's a picture of pain. And how do we get from where we're at, and even reflect on me, okay? Came to faith in Jesus Christ. God, aren't you going to take all this pain away now because I got saved, Lord, right? Wasn't that your plan? And now let me go back to work and do something being a Christian. No. No. Because see, again, God saw October 28th, 2020, on September 20th of 2004, God saw tonight back then. And you know what God knew? God knew that it took 4 years, 13 surgeries, and everything that had to be done, because if not, I would never have been able to be here and stay here and been faithful to the extent, and only by his restraining grace, right this moment, will it be 5 minutes from now. Amen? It is only in him, for him, through him, to him, that next week I will not be a disastrous, tragic picture and warning sign to all of you. And I hope you understand the same is true for you. Be ever mindful of the fact that we are still battling a sin-filled structure. Save the heart, the matters of the heart. God, praise God, dominion over our hearts as followers of Christ. We're still battling that sin nature. And Paul, what's he say? The things I should do, I don't. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Isn't that powerful? You know why? That resonates with all of us, doesn't it? I'm not even kidding. It's like, man, I wish Paul and I could hang out, man. Wouldn't you like that? I'm like, Paul, just talk to me, dude. It's just real. And I thank God for that. Because even in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he's saying, God, take this thorn from me, pleading with God, I see his humanity in that. The same way with Jesus, we understand with Lord, if there's a way this cup can pass, let it, but not my will. Jesus knew he had the thing that had to be done, but God, you know, listen, if there is a way that mankind and its brokenness can be redeemed, Lord, not my will, but yours be done, yielding to the plans and purpose of the Father. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.